Second Corinthians chapter 12. Just the last three verses, 19, 20, and 21. And Apostle Paul, if you got a Scofield Bible, says the warning before verse 19. We've dealt with verse 19 last week, and Paul is clarifying that he has to honor God. He says, we speak before God in Christ. Paul is, it's one of the things that's difficult for a pastor to make clear to the people that he loves them, and his desire, as Paul said, is to edify, to build them up, but he has to obey God. The pastor is not out to be a friendly guy that, you know, and he should be friendly and social, but he can't let his guard down and allow the friendship of the people to keep him from preaching what he needs to preach and what he has to preach, what the Word of God says. There's a lot of difference in just being a socialized preacher, a friendly preacher that just goes around, you know, and just hug the people's necks and get along with everybody. Well, that's great and good, but still at the same time, he has to answer for God how he preaches. And he has to uphold the Word of God regardless. Who is offended or what? The disciples even asked him, Lord, you offended the Pharisees. How are you going to preach without offending some people? It's going to hit them. And so Apostle Paul is making it clear to him. He's sees some things. Notice what it says in verse 20. For I fear lest that when I come, I shall not find you such as I would. I'm not going to find you as I desired. I believe that I'm going to find you in some kind of manner that's going to just make it difficult for me to show my love for you, or difficult for me to edify you as I want. That's my desire. I want, end of verse 19, he says, I want to edify you. I want to build you up. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. I want to exhort you. But he's saying here, but I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would. I'm not going to find you the way I'm desiring, what I hope to find. I desire to find things in your life that shows that you're going on with God, you're maturing, and you're developing the Christian life, and you're walking with God. That's what he wants to see. And he says, I'm afraid I'm not going to see that. And that I shall be found unto you such as would not. If I have to deal with things, it's going to be a problem for you, or it's going to be a problem for me. We're not going to, you'll think that I don't care about you. You'll think that I'm just trying to pound you and constantly deal with you about things. But he says, that's not my aim. That's not what I really want to do, but I have to do it at times. There's times that I will have to deal with things and issues in the church that need to be addressed. You just can't let the church go any old way. One of the roughest jobs for the pastor is when he sees things coming to the church and he knows it's going to affect the rest of the people. He can just turn his head and look the other way, and it'll begin to affect the other people. That's called leaven, chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. But you've got to deal with issues. You just can't let things come into the church and just look the other way. Your object of the pastor is to keep the church clean. That's his responsibility. That's his first responsibility. Keep sin out from taking hold in the church. And so it's a job that it's not a kind of a pleasant thing to do. It's not something you like to do, but it's something your God's called you to do it. He says up there, we speak before God in Christ. I'm telling you, I know what God wants. I know what God wills for the church, and I'm speaking to you and trying to please the Lord and trying to help you, but I'm trying to please the Lord and do right by him. And so he says, and then I should be found of you to not such as it would not, lest there be debates, envy and strife, wrath, strife, backbiting, whispering, swellings and tumults. And I looked at the list there, and that's typical. That's typical of people that's just made a profession of faith. That's typical of a young church. This is a young church. It's not been around a lot of years. It's a young church. Paul was involved in forming this church, getting it started. And so it's a young church. It's not had time for a lot of growth. And so you have some of these disputes, squabbles, things that people do that just, there's a lot of things they haven't heard yet. A lot of things about their relationship with the rest of the saints and what God requires you to love the brother and show it and forgive one another and start maturing in the faith. And so you see, this is immaturity. This is people that just haven't grown up like they ought to, haven't matured. It's childlike stuff. When you're saved, you're called a babe in Christ. And God expects you to mature, to develop a Christian life where it shows more and more discipline of self. It shows that you won't be involved in those things after a while. You'll overcome those things. You won't have a spirit and an attitude of contradiction and hatefulness and being a backbiter, being a person that just squabbles with people and constantly can't get along with other people. That thing should be buried after a while. You ought to be able to get over that thing. You ought to realize that we're not the same. We're different. We have different ideas, different ways, different things we like. And you learn to get along with other people regardless. And you learn the lesson that you're not going to change them. It's going to take God that has to change them. If they're going to change to a likable person, a godly person, a holy person, it's going to have to be work of the Holy Spirit of God working in their life, applying the scriptures to their life, and developing a Christian life that shows that they're maturing, they're developing in their Christian life, and they're walking uprightly and holy before the Lord. And so that's, to me, that's kind of like a, you know, just people that's just getting going. And they haven't really heard a lot of preaching. They haven't been challenged by a lot of their spirit, ways, attitudes, dispositions, whatever you want to call it. You know, we build them before we're saved. The way we talk to people, the attitude we have towards people, the way we answer people, all that squabbles and stuff. And so I say, I used to say this. I remember, it just came to me. I used to say this. When you get saved, you're like a rough, ugly old stone when you get saved. And as you hear the Bible preached and you read the Bible and as you begin to apply it to your life, the Holy Spirit of God is like chipping off all the rough spots in your life, all the things that's so unlike Christ. And he keeps chipping away. And you read back, and I believe it's in, is it Jude or Peter? It says where he's come to take his jewels. And a Christian beautifies, their life is beautified by the way the Holy Ghost of God shapes it and changes their spirit and makes them a person that you want to be around. You want to be around folks that just, folks that sang to us, you know, people that just, the glasses. You like to be around Brother Glass. Why? You like his spirit. You like the way that, you know, he would talk to you, all these things that you enjoyed his company. I love to be around old Brother Burns. He was a tough preacher, but you get him in a house at home, he's a lovable guy, kind, friendly, personal, sociable. You know, you enjoyed it. And that's what we're eating. Before we get those edges knocked off by the Holy Ghost, listen, as God is working in you both to will to do his good pleasure. He hath begun a good work in you, will continue until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's working. They used to sing that song, he's still working on me. And it takes a while. But I'm saying to you, after a while, there ought to be visible, there ought to be notable evidence that we're not what we used to be. When we got saved, we was fault finders and squabblers, and we'd get upset every time somebody said something, and, you know. After a while, if you grow spiritually, what is that? It don't make no difference to me. Who cares? So what? You know, I know they don't mean that. I don't care. Don't bother me. You know, you learn not to carry a chip on your shoulders, they say. You learn to get rid of that spirit, and you learn to just get along with people. I don't care what they say. I mean, if you want to live in squabbles, and you want to live in and where you have stripes and backbitings and debates and envies and swellings and tumults, that's a poor life to live. That's a poor life to live. And so the Holy Spirit of God, what's that song that's in the back of our song? Something beautiful. He made something beautiful out of my life. And it is. He does. He really does. And that all those things are chipped away. I wanted to really deal with something that Paul said here. Interests me in verse 21. He said, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me. He's dealing with these people and the sight of them, the sight of their lives. This humbling is to put a person in a serious, sober, solemn state. It's close to making you to where you're just brokenhearted. Paul's not mad at him, but he tells them, he says, I shall bewail them. He says, many which have sinned already, and notice he says here, and have not repented. Paul is looking at this crowd, as I read this passage, I could think of scores of questions I'd like to ask. These people, Paul knew. He must have preached to them before. And he said, yours. Still in your sin, you're continuing in sin, and you've not repented. Now, this isn't in the same category as the little squabbles above. These are some of the most vile, immoral sins. If you look at them down there, uncleanness, fornication, lasciviousness, they're some of the most vile sins. And Paul says, you're still doing the same things. You're still living the same way. You haven't even repented. And I thought as Paul said these words. Two words come to my mind. What happened? Now, Paul is a real preacher. Paul's an anointed, Holy Ghost anointed preacher. You couldn't put your finger on Paul's life. He lived a blameless life. He actually lived a blameless life. You could go around accusing Apostle Paul of being a sinner. You can't find a sin. I believe Paul lived upright. I believe he walked with the Holy Spirit of God. And let me just put this in here. I don't believe he walked around with a black eye all the time. When it talks about that in the Bible, where it talks about he buffeted himself daily, that is, he dealt with his spirit daily. He dealt with himself in a way that he controlled his spirit. He controlled his attitudes. He didn't. Can you picture Paul going to every day going around with two black eyes? No, that wouldn't even be possible. That ain't even sensible. He didn't buffet himself, give himself a black eye. He dealt with himself. He dealt with his spirit. He dealt with his attitude. He dealt with his life. He dealt with his mouth. He dealt with himself. He dealt with the way that he had to control himself, deny himself. But I'm looking here and I'm saying, what happened? Paul's a great preacher, spirit-anointed preacher. Why do these people continue in sin? I mean, terrible sin, wicked, vile sin. Why do they continue? What went wrong? What happened? Paul wanted to know why they hadn't repented. And so it's a question, you know, and you think, now listen to me carefully, and I might not go too much farther. Did I do something wrong? Did I fail them in some way? Did they misunderstand me? Don't they realize that God requires you to repent of those sins? Don't they understand the truth? Why do people go on in sin when the Bible's clear that identifies these things that God says you are not going to heaven this way? These people are not saved. These people that live in uncleanness, that's immoral. Wickedness that identifies with the culture of our day that's so prominent. LGBT and all that crowd. That's what it's talking about. I mean, it's evident. It's evident how wicked it is. I remember my dad one time. Took me down to the barn with a razor strap. I'm going to get a good one this time. I deserved it. I'm going to get a real whipping. I don't think you ever got a whipping with a razor strap. Razor strap's about that thick. They're about that long. I got down to the barn, and Dad was kind of in tears. My dad was a strong man, but he was a very meek, kind man. And he said, "Son, where did I fail you? Where did I miss that?" He said, I feel guilty of failing to really train you as I ought." And he's about tears coming out of his eyes. And he took the two straps. He said, "Here." Now, I'm not telling this because another preacher said, or if you heard him, this actually happened to me. Down at the barn, Rensselaer County, New York. I'll never forget as long as I live. Dad says, "Here, you whip me." I said, "I can't do that." He wanted to know why that I would do what I did and why I was so rebellious in that way.
Here I was raised in church. I was dedicated to God at 5 days old. I was dedicated to God. I was in church most of my life till I got 17, late 17, joined the Navy. Most of the time I was in church. First 17, 18 years of my life. I was in church all the time. Sometimes 3 times on Sunday. What happened? You know what? You can deal with this in any way you want to. You can see this. Paul's heart's broken. These people are ruining their life. These people are still going to hell. These people are not saved. People of this sort are not in church saved. Now, they might be in church like it was back in 1 Corinthians 5 where that man was having an affair with his father's wife. But they're not saved. I want you to know, sinners are not going to heaven. I don't care how many different kinds of professions of faith they make, they're not going to heaven. But it does. It works on a preacher. It works on me all the time. You know, I've seen it in our family. I've seen it in other people's families. I've seen people that's heard the preaching, great preaching. I think Earl Hughes was a little deep for a lot of people that didn't know their Bible well. But if you listen to him close, he could touch your heart. He could move in your life. God could use him to teach you and understand some theology that a lot of men never get it across. You've heard an untold number of preachers that's been through this church. And you're saying, did it help you? Did it change you? Is there something that's we're not making clear? Is there something wrong with our preaching? Is there something wrong with our lives nowadays? Is there something that's not working? I can see in Paul's day, not far from Pentecost, but yet the next book of the Bible, Galatians, he no sooner goes to the church of Galatians, and they're already listening to another gospel, a false gospel, in the first chapter. And that's not far from Pentecost. What went wrong? What happened? As I said, I can see it in our day. I can't hardly understand why they didn't see the wickedness of their sin. I know Apostle Paul preached hard on sin. You can't go through his epistles without him being gun barrel straight. He doesn't waver. He doesn't hold back. I like the first chapter or the second chapter of Thessalonians. He makes it clear he didn't come to please anybody. He preached as hard and as straight and as lovingly as he possibly can. But some still don't get it. They still don't understand. What is in their mind? Why do they think they can get by? Why is it they think they can go out and sin and not get caught? Why do they think they can go out and sin and miss hell? You go back into, I want to reinforce this tonight if I don't do it. You've heard it before and before in 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. I thought about how this would really settle it You know, it's the problem of our day. It's the problem of our day is we can't draw a line. I want you to think. We're having a hard time. The Bible draws a line, but we're having a hard time drawing a line who's saved and who is not saved. We go by friendship. We go by they're really not that bad. We kind of develop our own gauge or our own type or whatever it might be. We kind of make up our own list in our mind who's saved and who's not. Well, this clarifies it. If you want to get something that'll clarify it, this will help you. If you'll let the Bible speak, if you won't try to put emotions, if you won't try to put friendship, if you won't try to put any kind of relationship, son, daughter, mom, dad, I don't care who, you can't put any of them into the decision on whether somebody is saved or not. You have to let the Bible, clarify what is actually one way or the other. You can't let your mind and heart make the choice. Notice here, verse 9 of chapter 6. Know ye not that the unrighteousness, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Period. That's question mark. You can't at any time put unrighteous people, I don't care your relatives, I'll never forget this. I didn't want to believe it, I didn't want to hear it. My sister Dee Dee, one of the sweetest girls you ever met. She's the one that was riding with her grandfather, and he didn't see these poles sticking out the back of a truck in front of him. And when he stopped, the poles come through the truck in front of him stopped. The poles come through the windshield and hit my sister right in here, in her temple. They picked glass and wood out of her brain. She's in a coma for 6 months. They said she'd never live. I've told you about Brother Dayton, Brother Ray Smith. My dad went and prayed for her, and she'd come around. She's very talented. Felicity plays the violin. So could my sister Dee Dee. Leona was her name. Never took a lesson, just play. She could draw a picture of you. She was an artist. I mean, one of the best. There's a lot of companies tried to get her to, but her husband was jealous and he wouldn't let her. She could have made thousands and thousands of dollars. She's so talented at artistic drawing people, drawing images, whatever it might be. Wouldn't let her. Dee Dee, you wanted to be around her. She's sweet. You never had an argument with her. In fact, her husband was, well, his name was Bob. He just wasn't worth too much. He wouldn't work. He's been in the Army. And he didn't treat her good. My daddy was my age now, 80-some. And he got wind that her husband, Bob, slapped her, did something. Here my dad's 80-some years old, went up there, stuck his finger in Bob's nose, and he says, if you ever touch her again, you'll answer to me. My dad was a man. Dee Dee, she was in her, I think, late 40s. And where that No doubt, they say once you have one of the major injuries in your brain, a lot of times it'll develop a clot later on or something else to take you out of here. Well, about 5 o'clock one morning, all she did was just go, she just kind of lunged, she was dead. I called the preacher of the church that I was going to sometime, and I said to him, now I want you to tell me the truth. I said, do you believe my sister went to heaven? He said, Brother Owen, I'm going to tell you what I know, what I've seen. He says, Dee Dee was a wonderful, beautiful girl, friendly, kind, sweet girl. But he said, I never seen her make a profession of faith or give testimony of belonging to God. He said, I don't believe your sister went to heaven. You see, our emotions love, we say love is what? Blind. What happened? I'm trying to show you that we don't really look deep and let the Bible set the course. Let the Bible be true. God says these people here that are unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then it gives a list of them. But the first three words it says, be not deceived. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. He said, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. You know what that is. That's what's prominent in our day. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners, again, shall inherit the kingdom of God. He draws a line. He gives you the exact reason why these people, I don't care if they are members of church, I don't care what they are, I don't care if they made a profession of faith, I don't care if they testified, I don't care if they looked and act like they were saved, if they were unrighteous, they'll not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't care what they did, I don't care who they are, I don't care how kind they are, I don't care how lovely they are, I don't care how much they've done in their life. If the next part of this is not applied to them, notice what it says, and such were some of you. And here's the reason that these people are going to heaven. Ye are washed, ye are sanctified, and ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. If you would let that section of the Word of God, and I can show you some other ones. If you'd let that set the perimeters, if you'd let it set the boundaries, if you let it be true, if you'll let it just be true, it'll change your way of looking at people, understanding people. It'll help you carry a burdens for people that even may appear good, but they're not righteous. They're not right with God. They don't walk upright. I don't care what they do. I don't care. I've heard stories of preachers preach 20, 30, 40 years, and on their dying bed start screaming, I'm not ready! I'm not ready! What happened? Why do they keep on sinning? Do they think they're going to get by? Do they think God's going to squeeze a few people in just because they did some good deeds? Because they didn't really feel that they was that bad? What happened? Why didn't they repent? Why didn't they believe the gospel? Why didn't they believe the truth? Why didn't they believe the preacher, Paul? See, he was... Something's going wrong in the lives of people. You've seen it in the last number of years. How many people's made professions of faith? Go right back out into the world again, live in the world, live in wickedness, doing the same thing. These people never stopped. Paul preached to them. He knew who they were, knew what their sins were. That's why he's brokenhearted. Last thing a preacher wants to see is people he knows and loves, people he's been preaching to, and to see them waste their life, destroy their life. They're not listening to the Holy Scripture. They're not believing the Word of God. They're just trusting in themselves. Brother Edward Last, preacher in England. He said the Holy Spirit of God told him, he was up behind a pulpit and told him, he says, you don't know your people. He thought, yes, I do. Boy, when he dismissed, he run back to the door and he wouldn't let you go out. He'd pull you up close to him. Do you know you're saved? You know you're right with God? Are you sure of heaven? He wouldn't let you go out the door until you answered. One 18-year-old boy come and he says, son, you've been here since you've been a baby. I've been preaching you 18 years. He said, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you sure you're saved? He said, no, sir. He said, you're not saved? No, sir. He says, you're not going out through this door till you and I get on the floor. And he says, you repent of your sin. Do you really believe there's a hell? Do we live that way, looking at our families, friends? Do we believe they're throwing their life away? I remember an old preacher that his son was, he heard him on the phone planning a beer party. He said, I had picked up an extension and heard my son talking about a beer party. He said, I put my phone down quietly. He said, I got on the floor. He said, I laid on that floor. He said, I don't know if it was for days. But he said, I told the devil, you're not getting my son. And he cried and he wept and he prayed and he wept and he held on to God. And his son's a preacher today. He's an evangelist. Brother Don Green was who I'm talking about. His son was Timmy Green. We allow time to pass. I don't know what all Paul did, but I do know he was brokenhearted to see these people still in their sin. He didn't want to accept it. He didn't want to believe it. that so troubled him. He says, you're still not repented. God help us to take our life more seriously, take the lives of our loved ones more serious. Recognize that our judgment isn't true. Let God be true. Oh, they're a good person. I've seen them, man. You don't see them do much. What do you hear at the funeral parlor all the time? They never bothered anybody. They loved everybody. Is that what you hear at the funeral all the time? What you hear? Let's stand.
Amen. Amen. We all have loved ones. All of us do. We've had some that we allow to pass, but we know deep down there's something wrong in their life. They won't give up the world. They'll give up part of things, but they won't give up the world. Warning sign, something wrong. These people wouldn't give up their immorality. Paul was shocked. The immorality they were in was one so dangerous to be in whatsoever, God just cut you off. Put an A down there. Abandon, or put an R before their name. Reprobate. You haven't repented yet? God help us. God help us to be more sober, more spiritual. Have enlightenment from the Holy Spirit of God to have true discernment. What good are we? And I'm going to leave you this question. What good are we? What good are we in reaching the lost if we can't tell who really is lost? What good are we? What kind of standard do we go by? I know Paul was kind of shocked. I don't want to find you that way, but I feel that I'm just going to find it that way. That you're not going to like it, me neither. God help us. God help us to have the discernment. Not only the discernment, but when God reveals it to you, you, regardless of what happens, you do what you have to do in trying to reach them. Let them know that you are troubled about their soul. Oh, but they love me, and I know they're good people. Dee Dee, Leona. I don't know of another person that I would have judged. Man, she sure got to, she must have. She was good to everybody. You never got an argument. You never had a problem with her. She's always trying to get you in her house and drink coffee with you. But she wasn't righteous. Father, in Jesus' name, would you make us, cause us to mature in the faith and have a discerning spirit. So many around us, so many close to us, that may just miss heaven because we wouldn't let the Bible be true. We want to do We wanted to make the judgment ourselves. Help us to be more sincere, more sober, more discerning. Give us wisdom, I pray, in these last days. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Yard dismissed.